our sermon series this month is Growing in Christ. So today and this evening are the last two messages in Growing in Christ. And there's so many ways that we can grow in Christ. I only had two choices left. And, that's a hard choice to make, right? It's hard to decide, what gets the last two spots. Last week, as we transition from our vertical dimension, which we began with the Word, how we grow in the Word and we grow in prayer. Last week, we transitioned to growing and giving and how God uses our money. And that's one of the last places we tend to give Him that area of our life. And then last Sunday night, we were talking about growing in community and how God desires for us to stay together, right, in Christian community. Because when we come together, it spurs us forward. It continues to light a fire and ignites a flame in us. And look, just like coals in a fire, when we're together, right, then we heat and warm one another. And the fire, just like, everybody knows those campfires or bonfires. And the next morning you get up and the fire's still out there burning because the very center where it's the warmest, it's still red hot. And that's what we need to do. We need to continue to spur one another along and continue to come to church. And that's what we were talking about last Sunday night. But today, I wanted to talk about serving. Right, that as we have community and as we have a relationship with Christ and as we give Him all areas of our life, that we will naturally serve. But listen to this. I was talking to Riley. My daughter is way beyond her years in knowledge, right? And I was talking to Riley. I said, Riley, what should get the last spot? I got all these topics. What do we say? And she was like, growing in faith. And that is a great one. And I wish we had one more week because I believe that would be great. But it naturally had to be love, right? Love had to get the last spot because let me tell y'all something about today's two messages. One can't go without the other. Right? You cannot serve without love. And you cannot love without serving. They come together. I want you to just think about that for a minute. That you love and serve, and one cannot happen without the other. A month ago, I was talking, this month has gone so fast, but when we began talking about growing in Christ, I was giving us an illustration about Sister Brown and Brother Joe. And they've been our subjects this month a few times. But why are they important? Well, they're important because every church has Sister Brown and Brother Joe. And they are the two people, the patriarch and the matriarch of the church. And people say, boy, I sure do wish I had the relationship that Sister Brown has with the Lord. Or I wish I had the faith of Brother Joe. Right? His faith is so strong. But listen, here's the fact is, the real truth is, that Sister Brown and Brother Joe didn't get that faith or that relationship by wishing. You see it? We say that we wish we had those things. We wish we had that relationship. We wish we had that faith. But listen, they didn't get that faith by wishing. They got it by choosing to walk in faith. They got it by choosing to follow Him each day, making a choice to deny themselves and pick up their cross daily. It was a conscious choice, not by wishing, but they got there putting one foot in front of the other in faith. You know, this week I was thinking about how, what keeps us from getting there. And I think that one of the first things that we have to look at is the compartments in our lives. You know, because if we're over here and you got Brother Joe and Sister Brown over here and you're saying, hey, I wish I had that faith and that relationship that they have. But I say, are you willing to give Him every part of your life? Are you willing to give it up? And you say, well, no, I'm not. Well, the fact of the matter is that you'll never close the gap. Right? Unless you're willing to totally give up all areas, you'll never get there to where they are. Although you wish you wish that you had that relationship or that faith, you've got to come to the realization that you've got to close the door or open all the doors and not have any more closed compartments in your life. You know what I think that Sister Brown and Brother Joe have done? It's on the sign out there this morning. I put it on there because this is the truth. The first thing that they did, they came to the ends of themselves. Number one. But number two, they realized that God is all they have and He's all they need. Amen. Right? It says it right on the sign out there this morning. God is all we have and He is all we need. And that's what makes them totally aware that God is in control. You know, when you realize that you can love like Christ, you can also serve like Him. And that's what this morning's message is serving. The title, if you're taking notes this morning, is Growing in the Spiritual Discipline of Service. Growing in the Spiritual Discipline of Service. There's a reason why I didn't just name it Growing in Service. Because when we talk about growing in service, people think when you say serving, it's only about coming in, maybe greeting at the door, right? Maybe ushering, right? Maybe serving with the children, maybe leading a Sunday school class, maybe teaching in some way. But that's not what we're talking about this morning, although that is part of it. The title this morning is Growing in the Spiritual Discipline of Service. And that's because a spiritual discipline is not just something you do on Sunday. Amen. Right? A spiritual discipline is something that we do each and every day. So I want us to wrap our mind around that before we even start in the scriptures this morning. I want us to understand that we are growing in the spiritual discipline of service by the way we live. That when we really have our minds in a servant's mindset, that we don't just serve on Sunday morning, that we serve all day, every day. It's not just on Sunday morning. So I got a question. You know, I love to ask questions at the pulpit. Can you love like Christ? And can you value people like He does? Can you love like Christ and can you value people like He does? I don't know if y'all know, but I have a problem with old rusted cars. My wife will tell you, and to me it's not a problem, right? To me it's not a problem, but apparently it's a problem because she will tell you that I will show up from time to time with an old car. And look, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Right? When I show up with that car, and even when I see that car, I can see a car out beside a barn, or I can see a car beside a house. And when I see that car, I don't see it for what it is. I see that car for what it can be. Amen. Right? I can already see it with the wheels and the windows tinted. I can see all the holes patched on that thing. I can see what color I would paint it, what kind of stance it would have, what size the tire should be. Right, I can see that thing before it even moves. But my wife, let me tell y'all something. My wife will say, that thing is a heap. Y'all need to go and take that thing to the junkyard because it ain't worth killing. Right, it ain't worth having. Here's another thing. Look, when you pop the hood, right, my wife's first thing, when you pop that hood, she'll say, man, look at this old broke down thing. It won't even run. But right, I'm looking under the hood and I'm going, man, all it needs is a little TLC. Right? I'm looking underneath there and I'm going, do you know how much horsepower this engine can make? This thing can be powerful now. So, but listen, this morning I want us to think about this. When we think about loving like Christ does and valuing people like He does, aren't you glad this morning that Jesus doesn't see us for what we are, but He sees us for what we can be? Amen. You see it? Jesus, He doesn't just look at us on the outside through all of our rusted and rough edges. Right, He sees us and He sees all the way under the hood. And He knows that our hearts, even though they're wretched, Right? I mean, they are, to us, probably some of them are useless. And this morning, when you look at people, and as we're thinking about loving like Jesus and valuing people like Jesus does, can you love and value people for not what they are, but what they can be? Right? Not what we can make them into, but what God Almighty, through the blood of Jesus, can restore them to His image. And so many times we fall short doing that. But I think it's from our starting point. You see, whenever we're talking about loving and serving, like this morning we're talking about serving, and this evening we're going to focus in on loving. But when we're talking about serving, so many times we are serving from the wrong platform. You see, we're serving from the wrong starting line. Because we need to be serving, not on Sunday morning. We're talking about the spiritual discipline of serving. We're talking about serving, having a servant's heart, not just this morning, but all week until I see you again next Sunday. And in the week after that, until the next Sunday. It's a discipline that we need to understand, and we need to understand why that happens. Because until we do, we're going to continue to fall short in our lives. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 through 6. Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to pray as y'all turn to Romans 12. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for your word. Father, we thank you for the fact that you're in the life-changing business. And Father, we thank you for not seeing us for who we are, but Father, what you can make us into. And Father, just all the life change that I know is in this room, I thank you for each and every person here. I just pray that you continue to change us, Father. This very day that we would just take a deep breath. We wouldn't worry about what time it is, but Father, we would hear from you clearly. Clear our minds and clear our schedules. And Father, speak to our hearts as only you can. And I pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Romans 12, verses 1 through 6. If y'all would stand, I'm going to read the 6 verses. Paul tells us, he says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, all of the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith." You may be seated. You know, one of the most common mistakes that churches make is in the area of encouraging to serve. Unfortunately, guilt is one of the most leading methods of recruiting. And that's that starting point that I was talking about earlier. You know, since guilt is most often the one of the leading methods of recruiting, it's effective in gathering workers short term. Well, why do I say that? As time goes by, those who serve from obligation rather than passion, right? When you're serving, whether it's at church or all week long, you know, if you walk out of here and you say, "You know what, I am going to start serving more purposeful." But if you do that out of obligation rather than passion, then you will eventually grow weary and walk away from the idea of having a servant's heart. See, our starting point is wrong. Do you see it? Whenever we go out of obligation and guilt, we will grow weary and we will eventually fall away from having a servant's heart. But when the motives of our minds are correct and we are rightly centered on Christ, then we will not grow frustrated and burn out. And that's what today's message is all about. The first thing that we see in the scriptures that we have just read, Paul tells us in verses 1 and 2, if you're taking notes, that disciplined service, okay, we're not talking about growing just in serving, we're talking about growing in disciplined service, right? In spiritual discipline of service, and disciplined service shows us that we are reasonable. Verses 1 and 2. I know that's a very odd note to take, but I'm going to tell you why. It shows us that we are reasonable when we are able to be disciplined in service. You know, at a very young age, we're taught by our parents to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and to say yes, sir, and no, sir. We're taught when people do something nice for us to tell them thank you. Right? We're taught that whenever something is done for us, that we should turn around, and whenever we have the opportunity, that we should reciprocate the act of kindness when the opportunity arises. Right? It's the reasonable thing to do. I want you to look at what Paul says, and I love this scripture. And whenever I read it to y'all, it was out of the CSB, but I love Romans 12:1 and 12:2 in the NIV. In the NIV, it sounds very similar, but Romans 12:1 is almost exact with the CSB in the NIV. But he tells us, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. What does he mean by that, Pastor? He's saying that in the view of God's mercy, in the view of the blood of Jesus that has been shed for us, and we have been forgiven of our sins. Amen. Right? That if you have given your life to Christ, that you are in the view of His mercy. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, I urge you, I'm asking you, I'm pleading, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Amen. This is your spiritual act of worship. That's what the NIV says. This is your spiritual act of worship. In the CSB, it says, this is your true worship. And it's a lifestyle. You see it? Worship is not just here on Sunday morning. Worship is how we live each and every day. So Romans 12:1 is talking about offering your body. And just like I was talking about earlier, that's the vehicle. Right? That's our body. Just like, and he continues because Romans 12:2 is the mind. Right? Just like that vehicle I was talking about earlier, you know, the vehicle and the motor. Right? And that's why God views us. He views us as our body, Romans 12:1, and also our mind, the engine that runs it, our hearts. Romans 12:2, look at it. He says, and do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And I love this. If this don't get you fired up in your woods wet. Then you will be able to test and approve. You'll be able to experience. Listen to me. You'll be able to discern God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Somebody give me a witness. Amen. Amen. Right? You will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So listen, it's very simple. It sounds very complicated, but it's not. He's saying, I urge you, if you're in the view of God's mercy, if you have put your faith in Christ, I am urging you to make a change in your life. He's saying, I want you to please offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He's saying to live it out, to have a spiritual act of service every single day. To live it out. He said, then you will naturally transition to not conforming to the pattern of the world. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. It'll naturally happen. Then you'll be able, right in the center, you'll be right there to see His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul tells us just a few chapters earlier in chapter 6 of Romans in verses 11 through 14. He urges us to do the reasonable thing. The Greek word is logikos, which is total surrender of self to God. He wants us, because we know the truth, because we know that Jesus died for our sins, he wants us to do the logical thing, logikos, to do the reasonable thing. He's saying to give your surrender yourself to God. But I want you to understand that that word sacrifice that we see right here is the Greek word latreia. And when it's understood correctly, it's also the same word as service. So when you read that verse, when it says to present your body as a holy and living sacrifice, you could also translate that as service. As a holy sacrifice or a holy service. That we should live in a way that, in view of God's mercy, that means that we are no longer the same. When you do that, then the believer will be further strengthened in obedience and in the transforming power of God's renewal. Whenever we give our lives, whenever we offer it as a sacrificial service, then we automatically have our minds renewed, which is in verse 2. I want you to think for a minute. The word sacrifice, holy sacrifice, which is you could say it's like a holy sacrificial service today. When you think about sacrifice in the Old Testament, the high priest would give a burnt offering, right? But that burnt offering would not only be for our sins or for his sins, but it would also be for the sins of the people around him, right? And it would be the very same offering for himself, that he would have a burnt offering. But I want to encourage you this morning that our act of worship, when we give ourselves, is far greater than a burnt offering that the high priest would have given. Amen. So, and I want you to think about it for a minute, because not only is he giving a burnt offering that's not even for himself, we are giving an offering that's not only our very best calf, or our very best first fruit, right? It's not a burnt offering for someone else. We're giving ourselves, right, in view of God's mercy, just like the high priest. It's far better than that. We are giving an offering of our very own lives as an act of sacrifice or an act of service. Amen. Do you see it? Just like in the Old Testament, but it's far greater than that. Right, but it's a different. That's why Paul is urging them to change their thinking, and that for thousands of years before, they had been given this offering to reconcile themselves, but they no longer need to be reconciled because it's been done on the cross. So what he's saying is now we no longer have to go to him to try to reconcile ourselves. The sacrifice that we give is us. Y'all with me? Romans 12, 1 and 12, 2. I urge you, dear brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Just like that burnt offering that was on that altar. Holy and pleasing to him. But it's no longer down here. It's no longer on fire. It's right here. It's on fire in here. It comes from passion. Do y'all see it? It's the same sacrifice, but it's different. It's better. It's us. It's not our first fruit or our best lamb. It is our very own lives. Amen. It's huge. When you really wrap your mind around that, but here's what happens. When we get our minds right and we realize that we want to give our lives and we want to be passionate about it, then we're able to finally get where God is. Right, when we're reasonable and we understand that we've been forgiven because of what Jesus has done on the cross, then we get to experience God, just like he was singing a few minutes ago. That we get to hear God's voice, that he will speak directly to us, that the curtain's been torn, and now we're right there in the very presence of God. And we can hear him, and we can have a relationship with him, and we can live that way, and we can experience. Look at Romans 12, 2. Y'all listen to me. That we can know and do. That we can experience what is good, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We experience that when we give our bodies as living sacrifices. So that's the first thing we see in Romans 12, 1 through 6. And Paul tells us that we're reasonable. The disciplined service shows we're reasonable. But if you're taking notes, the second thing we see is that disciplined service shows that we're humble. Disciplined service shows that we are humble. Look at verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. You know, the Bible warns us again and again on the dangers of pride. And Paul is telling us, as he writes this, for each believer not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but also to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith, which we just read. Paul warns each believer that we should not direct much attention towards our own abilities, and here's why. Because that's the wrong starting point. Right? Whenever we are putting too much emphasis on what we can do, when we're serving in our own power, when we're trying to live purposeful in a servant's heart, we'll never get it accomplished. What we've got to do is just offer our bodies. Let's go back to the beginning of the sermon when we talked about Brother Joe and Sister Brown. Right? They're not consciously having to do it. What they've realized already is that God is enough, that God is all they have, and He's all they need. Amen. Right? So that's where you have to get. The only way that we'll be able to accomplish disciplined service that shows that we're humble is to get over ourselves. Right? We've got to set ourselves aside and realize that, you know what? It's all a facade anyway. Right, we're walking through life and we're thinking, man, I got it under control. I'm in control of my finances. I'm in control of today. I'm in control of the future. Right, I've got all this under control. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it's all a lie. God is in control. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you as sure as we stand here and sit here this morning that if God takes His sovereign hand off of your life, that you will not even take your next breath, regardless of what the doctor tries to do. And every day we walk through life and we forget that. And whenever we try to serve in our own power, we will never be able to get there. We'll never be able to love like Jesus does and value people like He does. Because we're trying to do it in our own power. We should rather be leaning towards the thinking in a way that results from the knowledge that everything that we have is a gift from God. James chapter 1 verse 17. In such thinking, when we realize that everything we have, every good gift comes from above, as James would say, when we come to that realization in our lives, then that thinking prevents our own arrogance that leads us to the reasonable service. And it points that reasonable service to the one who provided us the gifts and abilities in the first place. Paul wrote in his first letter to the church at Corinth, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast only in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. This is a true picture. Just let me paint it for you. This is a true picture of us serving each and every day, but getting out of His way. Right? Not me. But Him. Right? Let me get out of His way. And what happens is, which we're going to talk about tonight, we love because we know God can use someone, not because of what we think they can do for us. It changes our whole motivation in life. Whenever we're going to have disciplined service, it shows we're humble. It means that we are going to be able to see someone just like I look at that car and I can see what it can be, not for what the rust bucket that it is. Right? But Jesus views us the very same way. And if we serve, not only at church on Sunday morning, but in our whole lives, knowing that God has a purpose for this person that I'm speaking to, that we set ourselves aside and we say, you know what, it's not about me. It's not about what I can get out of this relationship. It's not about what I can do for this person. It's what God can do, right? It's not about what I can teach them to do. It's what God can teach them to do. And knowing that He has a purpose for their life. That we must, it's a picture of us getting out of the way and loving them because we know God can use them and not because of what we can gain from it. And the last thing we see in verses 4 through 6 is that disciplined service shows that we are useful. So the first one was reasonable. The second one was humble. And the last one is useful, 4 through 6. And I love how Paul uses the human body. Because the human body is, I mean, it's magnificent. You know, it's, you know, our body can't function without all the parts of it. Jesus was the very best at this. As Jesus taught, Jesus always used things in life that people could understand. Whether it was livestock, right? Or it was something they would eat, like bread. Right, Jesus would always use something that they were familiar with. And that's what Paul's doing here. In verses 4 through 6, he's just using something, our very own bodies, that we can easily understand what he's talking about. Let's read it together. Now, as we have many parts in one body, all of the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it in according to the proportion of one's faith. And look, he continues talking about that in service, use it in service. In teaching, use it in teaching. In exhortation, then use it that way. Right? Encourage somebody. He's telling us to use our gifts accordingly. But I'm going to tell you what, the reason he uses the human body as an example, as an illustration, is because we all have one and we all are very familiar that when one part of our body does not function, it's hard for the rest of the body to work. I don't know if y'all's foot has ever gone to sleep. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, you don't even know it's asleep. Sometimes you stand up and your foot's asleep, right? And it's like, and you start to put weight on it, you can't even walk. You might be dead, you know, rubbing your leg, trying to get blood to go back to it. You know, you're hopping around until you try to get the feeling back to it. Like, you can't even move. Because your foot, right? That one part of your body, it's like, it's hard. But here's the thing, what he's saying too is that our hands and our eyes, I mean everything, you know, if I want to go pick that up, my arms can't even get over there unless my legs take me. Right? Unless I have my eyes, I can't even see what I'm picking up. All of the things are necessary, and he doesn't even yoke us all evenly. But every one of us are necessary. So none of us, we should all humble ourselves, but we should also be useful. But don't try to get outside of what he's trying to use you for. Right? You can use the gift that he's given you and use it in proportion. Look at it. In proportion to your faith. That's verse 6. God in his sovereignty has seen to equip each believer with the skills and abilities that it can be used to fulfill the work of the kingdom. One believer's gifts are not more important than the others within the context of the body. Right? So when you think about our bodies, like there's not one part that's more important than the other. It takes all of us. So we need to be humble, but we also need to be useful, and we need to stay inside the context in which he's blessing us or the gift that he's given us. You know, just this last yesterday, we had a really great meeting, discipling men, and Steve, bless my heart, he was, very encouraging, and I need this. But a lot of times people look at the pastor, and he's like, you know, the pastor's got this under control, he doesn't need any help, he's got a plan. But yesterday, while I was preaching yesterday morning in the discipleship, and listen, we had over 16 men come for discipleship yesterday morning. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. But listen, at the end, Steve was telling me, he said, "Brad, hang on, before we leave, let's everybody talk for a minute about who you are, where you're from, right? How many kids you got?" And that's something I didn't think about that. I was so focused in, and I need that, right? And God blesses him that way. I mean, he even said at the end, "Hey, make sure you tell them you're here on Friday afternoons if they need to come by for counseling or come by to talk." Right? I need that. Right, I mean, Brother Bob, Bob Hunt, he's always encouraging me and has so much wisdom, and God has him here for a reason, right? I mean, blessing me with books and knowledge and encouragement. You know, Brother Bob came, Miss Dolores's, I don't know which one's the better half, which one of y'all? They're both good, evenly yoked, you two. But Bob was here for an hour yesterday morning helping get set up. Right? And what a servant's heart. But I need that. We all need that encouragement and somebody to go and press forward. And, you know, I got Brother Dale. He's always encouraged me in the details. You know, Brother Dale is, God has sewn him together that way because I'm big picture. I'm, you know, all the time, I'm just, you know, I'm way out there, right? And Brother Dale's trying to tell me, hey, the details are important. And I need that. Right? But it takes all of us together. And no one is more important than the other. And that's what he's trying to explain to us. That we all need to be used. So the question I want to ask next is, how does God want to use you? How does God want to use you? Maybe not just here on Sunday morning, but how does God want to use you? You know, service to the one who has paid it all for our sins is logical and reasonable. But it still requires discipline and disciplined participation on our part in order to faithfully obey. While God does not need us, He certainly wants to use us. Amen. It's His desire for us that we would faithfully execute the task that He has called us to and equipped us for. Amen. Every person in this room, He's called us to something and He wants to equip you to get it done. And when we fully understand the grace, just like Paul tells us in Romans 12:1, whenever we understand the grace that has been showed and showered upon us, The idea of giving anything less than our very best in the service to God is simply not reasonable. It's not reasonable. Not just on Sunday morning, but in our entire lives. That we should realize, because the grace that's been showered upon us through the blood of Jesus, that we would live it out. So this morning I want you to understand that it's not a guilt trip. Right? It's not about guilt. The starting line is not guilt. The starting line is a clear direction. That in the view of God's mercy, that we must offer our bodies as living sacrifices. What He's going to come and play just some soft music for us. And I'm going to ask everybody to bow and close your eyes. If you'd bow your heads this morning, close your eyes. You know, as we began, we were talking about Sister Brown's faith and Brother Joe's relationship, or vice versa. And I want you to think for a minute. I want you to consider this morning. You know, when you think about service and you think about surrender, are you willing to surrender all areas of your life to Him? That's what this is all about. This month, we're talking about growing in Christ. And today, as we consider serving Him, not just on Sunday morning, but as we consider serving Him in all areas of our lives and just giving Him everything so that we can experience that good, pleasing, and perfect will, not for our lives, but His will, that we can see clearly what it is that He wants to use us for. What area of your life have you not surrendered? I think if we're honest with ourselves, that we can find a place that we're probably not being reasonable or humble or useful. We're going to pray individually at our seats. But I want you to pray two things this morning. I want you to pray, first of all, that if there's someone here who has not given their life to Christ, that that's the first way. That they would do so this very day, that they would offer their body as a living sacrifice by giving their faith today. That they would believe that Jesus died for their sins and they would come forth. I want you to pray for those folks who are here who may want to join the church or they may want baptism. That's the first prayer I want you to pray. That anybody who desires that whenever we sing in a moment, that they would come down and they would accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. They would join the church. That they would offer their bodies this morning as living sacrifices. The second thing I want you to pray, your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to pray, secondly, that if there's an area in your life, whatever it is, you just between you and Him, that you would pray for full surrender. Let's pray.